session number 9069, reel 2.
That's how you see, and that's the only thing you can go by.
Yeah.
And he used to live not far from me, even down at Sheerness, you know.
Really?
He had a bungalow down just where I used to live. I used to have many a yarn with him on the seafront there. Mm. Well, he used to broadcast the kids in those days.
Yes,
right,
yes.
I didn't know who he was. Not till afterwards.
Mm.
I didn't know him more than I knew you. He used to sit on the seat there. We used to talk about the ships and it.
Yeah.
He was in the service. I was in the Navy. Oh, yeah. You don't say much, but they think a lot, you know. He had me summed up, I think, eventually. What are you doing now? He said, well, I said, I'm retired. I said, I've got a little caravan over there. I said, I looks after these yachts at the night time. Because they had a yacht place down there and on the cliffs. And there was a lot of one designers and catamarans.
Mm.
And these young toffs used to come there and tie them down behind their cars, you see.
Yes.
And one day I was sitting up there and a fellow had torn his... He tore his main sheet, you see, the three-corner cut in it.
Yeah.
Would you reckon I'll get that repaired off? I'll do that for you, if you like, sir. Come and have a drink along me, he said. Went in the club. How are you going to do it? I said, I'll soon do that. I said, it won't take me 5 minutes to do it if I've got the requirements. So he give me a little bit of stuff, a bit of sail, like the same stuff as it's made of, nylon, I said. So I went and got some Bostik. I cut a bit off like that and fix it on this side with Bostik and turn it and done the same the other side of it with Bostik. I said, there you are, take the work, it's all right. You can't see a stitch in it. He said, oh no. I said, I didn't stitch it at all. I said, well, I don't put a bit of Bostik. Well, he said, I'm back there for I could have done that. I said, of course you could have done. He thought the world of that.
Mm.
I said, I don't want nothing for it. Well, he said, you made a damn good job of it, he said. I said, at last? And he said, yes. He said, I've been out in the gale of wind with it. He said, I ain't touched it. Well, I said, I said, good job of Bostik, that's all. What do you call it? I said, Bostik. I said, you buy it at Woolworths. So I said, about 10 or 2. Well, he said, that's worth knowing. Oh, I said, I see lots of things like that. Seem to be easy done jobs, I said, but that makes it hard work of it. He said, could you splice any what I'm in my stay? I said, yes. Well, you can splice as well. I said, yes. He said, well, I'm going to stay on that side, he said. There you are, I said. Put your bottle screw on that. I said, that'll be all right. Oh, he said, you've done and made a good job of that, too. Ah, oh, I said, I've been used to doing jobs like that. And I said, I'll come back and show you how to sail it, if you like. I did sail it eventually.
Mm.
But I am denied about it first. Because I see one fella come down there one day. And, you know, you can lift your rudder up, can't you?
Yes.
Well, he went away. See?
The
keel, you mean? Yeah, the rudder up, you see? He lifts the rudder up. So when you get pulled up on the beach, your rudder won't catch on the ship.
Yes.
Well, he went away one day,
mm-hmm.
set his sails, and forgot to shove his rudder down.
Mm.
He was messing around with the tiller. Well, I said, your rudder's got to be in the water, I said, for that to work. The rudder was stuck up on the pump. I said, what are you? I said, a sailor or a grocer? Well, I've got to put it down, he said.
What did you dislike most about the Navy?
But I dislike a better money one enough. No, in those days.
Yeah.
Of course, but in the day now, the present time, it's a different lady altogether.
Yes.
I don't say that. They're just as good as men as I was.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're more. They're good seamen, the boys are at the present time. They're good seamen. They've got to be good seamen.
Mm.
But they're mechanized with it.
Mm.
There's lots of other knowledge they've got to have besides being a seaman.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, they're just as good as ever I was. Oh, yes. I see. You see what they got to do now at the present time? Frogging and all that business. Frog diving. Wouldn't dare to do it. I wouldn't. What if I was a young man? What they have to put up with? Dabbing about in the mud and all that business like they do with these frog people? Oh, yes, a good little sailing in now. Well, little, they're damn great, big, twice as big as I am. Good man, mate. Good man. Of course, you don't see much of them in uniform at all.
No.
See, therefore, you can't. You might be in a pub in Gillingham somewhere, you're talking to somebody, you don't know if he's a
bit of a metal or
not. See? You know he's not in uniform.
Mm.
He says it isn't a policy to be in uniform, he said, because these Burma blokes we got outside now, he said, they don't like us men in the Navy.
Mm.
That's why we don't, you know, let them know we're in it. And take them out to Bloomwall, you know, with the crowd you got out now.
Yeah.
Some of them women spivs, you know. I quite understand it. But I don't say they're not good. They are good men.
Mm.
The young boys of the present day in the service, they learn so quickly. Jolly good fellows, I think. Of course, us old timers don't look at that way. A lot of them don't, you know.
Mm.
A lot of them over. Not too long ago. Mental. No, I'd rather like it. I think myself that, you know. Because I'm 80 years of age now.
Mm-hmm.
And if I've had my time over again, I'd have been somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I would have got somewhere.
If you listened.
If I'd have kept my nose clean and done everything and paid attention what I'm worn, I did do, I think I'd have got by and perhaps been.
Mm-hmm.
Like my old father, he went straight from the bottom right to the as far as he could get, you know.
Yeah.
My old man did. Couldn't get what they call a lower deck admiral.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get nowhere.
No. Mm-hmm.
And he only started as a second class boy.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a great man. My old father was a lovely writer. He used to write longhand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely writer.
Yes.
Longhand. And he never had no schooling.
Mm.
What he taught himself.
Mm.
He never went to school. If he did, he went to a ragged school.
Mm.
They supply about threepence a week or something like that.
Yep.
But what he knew, he taught himself every mortal thing he knew. And he did know a lot. Psychology, all the ologies. Marvellous how he got the knowledge from. Marvellous old fella. Experience, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Paying attention as he went by through the world, you see. Taking notes of other people's mistakes, mm-hmm. rectifying them. He said to one day to a Pharisee, "What do you do that for, Bill?" "You was a bloody fool." So Bill said, "How do you make it out, Bill?" So he went and broke that bloody public house window. He said, "What for?" "Well," he said, "I didn't like his beer." I said, "He said, you a chief here and do it and turn around and put your glass through his window," I said. He said, "Well," he said, I wasn't going to let him know. Well, but he said, he's come to me about it, he said. "He's going to report it to the Admiralty." See? One man said, "Now look here," he said, "now, if you come with me, I'll go halfway with you and pay for it. And go and apologise to him." He wouldn't. One man said, "I'll go halfway with the window with you." And he said, "It'll stop all that him going any further." He wouldn't do it. He lost everything. Mm. One man had to go to Whitehall, take him with him, on the carpet, saw the over was up there. Dipped the lot. Lost everything he had. His wife, he had a wife and a couple of kids. If he'd have took my Iron Man's advice and paid for it and apologised, he'd have had his pension. He lost his pension.
Lost a lot. That, yes.
Dipped right down to nothing. Lost his pension. Yeah. All over a thing like that. Yeah. My man interceded for him. He'd done everything he could have done.
When was this?
When he was in West Mersey. Coast Guard Station. He was a second man. My father was the first, and he was the second chief. Yeah. Yes. My old dad done his utmost for him. He was so headstrong he wouldn't pay no attention. He was sinking. He said, "My goodness," he said, "why don't you pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you?" He said. He said, "Can't you see no further than your nose?" He said, "If you are good, they'll take everything from you," he said, "and you'll lose your pension." And not only that, the wild man got a lost seniority for not reporting it in the first call.
What did he
do? Well, man got the rattling as well.
Yes, but he tried to persuade him to.
He said, "You ought to report it to us." He said, "Straight away." Mm. "What did you advise him to do that for?" He said. Mm. We got two people into trouble. Yes. Besides yourself, he got him into trouble. For not reporting it when he immediately done it. Little things like that. It wasn't a little thing, but it's a big thing.
Yes.
It's a big thing. It's a big thing. He found it was a big thing, although when he lost all his doing. Yeah. And dipped right down to nothing and
all was required just to say sorry and
thoughtless, you see. A little advice, if he'd have took his advice, my old father's advice, they'd have both got away with it. Well, then a man wouldn't have said no more as long as he was paid for his window and had made an apology. Nothing more said about it. Well, you don't think of these things at the time, do they? They've got to be severe in the Andrew. They must stop in the Navy men. They must stop all that. The Navy must stop. They can't. They can't allow it to go on. Thing. It don't sound a lot, but it's it's a big thing.
Yeah.
It involves so many people.
Yes. It wouldn't matter if he'd just be an ordinary seaman, but
there's no excuse for a man with his
rank.
A man is supposed to be set example to other people.
Well, thank you very much indeed. This is your best start again. Your father was a naval man.
Oh yes, my old dad. He joined the Navy when he joined the Navy in 1854. No, he was born in 1854. And then he joined the Navy in When he was 14 and a half. So that would have made him what?
Well, that would have made him 1869.
Yes, well, they are. Well, then he joined as a boy. And he went to the, I think it was either the Imprega or one of them old ships. Well, then he kept in the service until he had about 10, 11 years' time in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, and he was he was a yeoman of signals,
mm-hmm.
or something in the signal branch.
Yes.
Well, in those days, they required men from the Navy
mm-hmm.
to transfer to the
Coast Guard.
To the Coast Guards
yes.
to help the revenue people.
Yeah.
Of course, there was so much smuggling that going on in those days.
Yes.
They couldn't compete with it, you see. They was smuggling on the beaches and it, and running stuff over, barrels and this and barrels of that, I suppose, wine of some description. And, of course, they had to reinforce the revenue people.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked for volunteers from the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they had a certain amount of... something they had to do. They had a pass.
Mm-hmm.
Some certificate or something, you see. They had to be qualified in something. They had to be a cutlass. They had to be able to use cutlasses.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to have to use, be able to use a pistol. And they had to know a certain amount of knowledge of gunnery.
Mm-hmm.
And signals, especially signals.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there was no telephone
yes.
or nothing like in those
no.
days.
Wow.
Everything was done by semaphore
mm-hmm.
and Morse, you
mm-hmm.
see. And anyhow, I think he qualified all right.
Mm-hmm.
Then he started again. He went, to, I think, as a boatman.
Mm-hmm.
He started as a boatman then he worked himself up again
okay.
till he
yes.
till he came to a chief officer.
Mm.
Well, when I was coming along, he was 40 when I was born in 1893. Mm. You see, and he was a petty officer boatman, I think they called him in those days.
Yeah.
Of course, I would say I didn't know much about it, but I was going to say, I was only coming along. Well, when I got to the age, he used to take me out in his boat and all that when I was a kid, you see.
Yes.
And he used to show me how to sail a boat.
Where was this?
There was a place called, we was in a watch vessel then.
Mm.
A little watch vessel used to be somewhere around at Walton on the Naze.
Mm.
Walton on the Naze was the Coast Guard station.
Yes.
And about 3 miles out of that, they had a watch vessel. I forget the name, but they
yes.
used to call it a watch vessel.
Yeah.
Well, my old man was sent in charge of that.
Of the watch vessel, yes.
Of this watch vessel, you see.
You lived on shore, did you?
We lived aboard the boat. We lived aboard
the
ship. Me and my mother and us kids, yes. All lived aboard this old vessel. And it was full of bloomin' rats.
I bet it was.
Rats have all been laying on this mud for years. And my poor old mother used to say, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get on. He said, well, from this place, she said. So my old man said, you've got to stick it, Mother, he said. All the time I'm here, he said, you've got to be with me, see. Well, he has to go around and keep his, to keep his watch, you see. And he sent somebody out, one of his other men had to do there to do their watches.
Mm.
And go and meet the other people from the other stations and sign each other's books to see that they'd been round the coast and everything was all right. Well, anyhow, I think, after that, we went from there, and he got promoted again, and he went as what they call a CBC, Chief Boatman in Charge, of a station at, down at Scrapsgate at Sheerness there, just outside of Sheerness. There's a little old Coast Guard station there. They call it Scrapsgate Coast Guard Station.
Mm.
Well, he went there as a CBC, Chief Boatman in Charge of the station, you see. And during that time, I was getting along then, I suppose it was about 1903 or 4, perhaps might have been 2.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about 1904, there was another boy, he came home from Greenwich School on holiday. His father lived in a little tiny, house, not very far from us.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to admire him, you know. And his uniform, you see. I said to my father, I said, here, Dad, can't I go and do the same as Sid?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do, boy, he said. Well, I said, I'd like to go and wear that uniform he's got on. Well, he said, he's a Greenwich School boy. Would you like to go to Greenwich School? I said, well, I would like to go like that, Dad. Well, he said, I'll see you get there. He said, don't think I'm going to send you, he said. You've got to use your own discretion about that, he said. So I said, well, I would like to go. He said, what stand do you know when you go to school? I said, I think I'm in the fifth standard, Dad. He said, you're fed up with going to school up there in CNS? I said, well, it's a long walk from here, isn't it? 3 miles each way.
Yeah. You had to walk, didn't you?
So you had to walk to school. And I had another brother, a little bit older than me, Fred. And he said, you won't like it there, he said. Well, I said, how do you know? You can't tell me. I said, because you've never been there. I said, I'm telling what Sid tells me. I said, he said, it's all right. Why shouldn't I go there? I said, you're only jealous because you're too old. See? Well, I believe he was too. But anyhow, my old dad took me up there. And he said, I'll take you up tomorrow, he said. He said, I know you're fit, he said, because he used to pass the boys. They used to go to my father to pass them for the Navy. You see, my father used to pass them, you see. He said, I know you're fit, he said, and I'll put you through the eyesight test, because he had a thing in a watch room there where he used to join the boys up, you see. That was part of his job. If you want to join the Navy, go and see the old chief officer of the Coast Guard, see.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I took me up to this place and introduced me to the chief officer of Greenwich School, Mr. Reed.
Sutcliffe. Hello.
Oh, Reed said, hello. Billy said, I believe they knew each other. My father and him. See, my man was like about the same age as this other chief officer.
Yes, okay.
And I think they knew each other. Mm. You know, they seemed to be talking very confidential to each other, like, you know, and I... He said, oh, look, Odyssey, don't come to any harm, he said. And Odyssey, he gets along all right. Don't I got to give him a lambation of it? And he said, he wants a bit of look at order. You know these old fellows, you know, they're talking about their boys, you see. He said, I've got two other boys, he said. Both in the Navy, he said. His other brother's in the Navy. His brother Bill, he said. And his other brother's in the Navy, he said, Arthur. And he wants to follow suit. He said, me being in the Navy and his other two brothers, he said, he's Navy mad, he said. Yeah. So anyhow, I went there and passed and everything. And as I say, I went there, I carried out the what they had to do. I followed our suit with the routine and I went into number 5 dormitory. And my instructor there, name was Pellet. And he was an excellent Navy man. Retired, I suppose, a pensioner. And got a job as an instructor at Greenwich School, you see. Good old fellow he was, old Pellet. He had a boy there. His son was in the school as well. His son, he used to be there. And I got on all right with Pellet. Man Pellet, we used to call him.
The school was very much run on Navy lines, is it? You know, the school was run entirely on Navy lines.
Absolutely, absolutely Navy, and very severe and strict.
You had bunks, presumably not hammocks, though.
No, we had beds.
You had beds.
See,
yes.
There was 120 boys in my dormitory.
120.
121, to be precise. And two of them were chief petty officer boys. They used to sleep in a bed on their own, one at each end of the room. One was a chief PO boy, the other one was a first class PO boy. You see, and whatever you done, mate, they had their eye on you.
Yes.
And they always carried the stonicky, you always see.
The boys themselves were allowed to carry stonickies, were they?
Pardon?
The petty officer boys.
Oh, they had supreme control.
Yes.
Yes, they was in charge. They was made petty officer boys. They'd been there two or three years, you see. And they was good boys, intelligent boys, and knew what they was up to. And so the instructor said, Vido, you're going to be a petty officer boy. I want you to carry out the discipline and see these other... And they wasn't fun to use the old stonicky either. And if you did misbehave yourself, they could do everything them boys could. There was bigger boys, you know. Well, young men just about to go into the service, the last part of their career in Greenwich School. And they was physically fit sort of boys, good at gymnastics, and good at everything, really. And and their education was good. Otherwise, they would never got made a chief PO boy. Otherwise, if they would... Of course, them instructors didn't make anybody boys like that, you know. They was good at everything, all-round good boys. Physical training and educationally, and fighting, jumping, everything. Tip-top. Well, they put him in charge of us other boys to set an example, you see. And, well, anyhow, I was there. I got along all right. I got I think I got into a bit of a fight one day with another boy over something. But only a lot, you know what boys will be. They, if you don't like each other, you rather go, don't you? Well, anyhow, I think I... It lasted a good while, this fight did. We, you know, we didn't hurt each other. We weren't big enough to hurt each other much. But the instructor see that you fought it out. And you can't stop now. He said, we'll ever get, we'll continue this. He said, after we've had our breakfast. I used to go on the stage, you know, bare fists, until you fought it out. He said, we'll square the difference up, he said, between the two of you. To make so long at last, he said. Well, then, after it was all over, you shook hands and you was friends forevermore. Well, as I say, when I was 14, I had to go and pass a doctor for what they call the Massey test. Massey test, you see, whether you was fit to go to sea.
Yes.
Well, I passed him. The next 9 months of your while you were there, you lived aboard that ship. There was a ship in the parade ground there.
Ah,
So they prepared you for sea by living in that ship.
Yeah. Did many fail the sea test?
Pardon?
Did many fail the sea test?
Did many fail?
Fail, yes.
Well, there's some. Of course, you had to be physically fit. Colour blindness was going on that present. A lot of people, if you was colour blind, you couldn't get in the Navy.
No.
Because signals and that was see? That was a thing that was very careful about. If you was colour blind, they used to give you this, we pick up bits of wool and say, what colour is that?
Yeah.
It was very, very, and you had to be very clever what you said. If it was a blue one, that you said green.
Ouch again.
See? You was very, you had to be very careful about that. And, anyhow, as I say, I finished the last part of it into the, in aboard the ship, the HMS, she was the biggest, model of a ship in the world, the Fame was. She was modeled, the ship's built out herself, the boys built out ourselves, you know, before my time. Under the supervision of, a lieutenant commander, I forget his name, but I wore the history of it. But he got these bits of timber, and he built that with the help of the boys. He made that model of HMS. Yeah, three masts and everything, you know, all fully rigged. I got a photograph of it somewhere. Well, anyhow, I went from there and I went down to the Ganges. And I excelled there a bit in my own way, you know. They seemed to have notified that. Those who say to me, "Well, you take a pattern out of that boy's dress." That was me, you see. Well, of course.
Did you make your own clothes?
We used to have to, yes. Used to make our own clothes in Greenwich. You'd have so many weeks in the tailor shop. You'd have so many weeks in some other trade, you see, in the carpenter shop. You had everything, went right through the lot. Well, yes, you used to make your own clothes, do all your own repairs. And,
Did they have a training in Greenwich then, do you think?
Pardon?
Did you enjoy your time at Greenwich?
Well, it was a case of have to. I couldn't rebel.
You couldn't rebel.
Of course, I volunteered to go there.
You volunteered for it, yes.
But many a time I used to think to myself, I wish to God I hadn't come.
Yes.
But I couldn't rebel, of course, I I got ran off my own bat, you see.
Yes.
See, my father said to me, he said, you'll use your own discretion. Don't think I don't. I'm not sent you there, boy, he said. You use your own discretion about it. Well, I used to go home to him, how are you getting on up there? He said, of course, he already knew, because I suppose they was in touch.
The
chief is sitting there.
Yeah.
How are you getting on up there, boy? He said, I said, I'm all right, Dad, getting on fine. He said, how much leave you got? I said, 14 days. No, he said, never. He said, don't get so weird. Don't take the dicky off. He said, you've got to be in uniform. You never know who's going to meet you. We'll meet you outside, he said. Of course, my old man was in uniform.
Yes.
See? Been a chief officer. And he had a bit of status to hold up, you see? He had a bit of a position to keep.
Yes.
In those days, he was somebody in the village. They were him and the parson. Mm. You see,
yes. was you'd moved ashore by then, obviously.
Pardon?
By then, you'd moved ashore into the village.
Yes. No, yes. Where from?
Well, you had been out in the hulk, you know, on the guard ship.
Ah, but he'd got promoted again since then.
Yeah.
See, my old man got promoted again from CBC to chief officer.
Yes.
Then he went to a place called West Mersey, the Isle of Mersey.
Mm.